We'll go to agenda item 9, which is an update on recent and ongoing climate change work. I think John Tkarczyk is going to lead off on this.
Yep, thank you. Chair Imeson, members of the board, State Forester Dougherty. I'm John Tkarczyk with the Planning and Analysis Unit. Danny Norlander and I are here today to provide an update on work within and in conjunction to the climate change work plan. Specifically, we'll cover progress from the Department of Justice on the recently submitted questions relating to statutory authority, work on Executive Order 20-04, content and response, and next steps, status of the Harvested Wood Products Report and Sawmill Energy Report, which are associated with our multi-state partnership and temperate forest MOU, accounting for forest carbon influx. And then lastly, we'll talk about the status of the collaborative work being conducted in updating the statewide climate adaptation framework. Leading this report, or this update, will be Danny Norlander, who has been the lead on multiple items that you just mentioned. So with that, Danny, I'll turn it over to you.
Good afternoon, Chair Imeson, State Forest Authority, and members of the board. Record, I'm Danny Norlander. I am the Forest Carbon and Forest Health Policy Analyst in the Policy and Analysis Unit at ODF. So for today, as John just covered, we're going to talk about progress with the Department of Justice, EO 20-04, our Harvest Wood Product Support, and the Statewide Climate Adaptation Framework. That's been an ongoing process for about a year and a half now. Slide. So we'll start off with the Department of Justice request. So this was an item that was brought to you in June. And following the June meeting, we submitted the questions that were approved with your amendments and changes to the Department of Justice. Since that time, they have been pulling the legislative history, which goes back quite a ways, and begun the analysis of that. Some other priority work has been pulling them away a little bit, but they have indicated that they're going to be able to get back to it pretty in-depth starting now. So they're looking at the statutes and everything going back to the beginning of the FDA and all of the board history and legislative history that's on record. So they'll continue with that analysis and start drafting a memo, and that memo will be prepared and ready for presentation to the board probably in the late timeframe of 2020. So probably the November meeting is when I would expect to present that to the board. That's basically all I have for the Department of Justice update. So now we'll move on to the EO 2004 section. Question? Sorry, I thought I heard something. So Executive Order 20-04 was signed by Governor Brown on March 10th, right before everyone started working from home. So some background that kind of puts it into context are past attempts from the last two legislative sessions where they were working on putting a cap and trade policy in place. And then after those failed to get to the legislature and into law, this executive order is Governor Brown's work on climate change from that point forward. So there are 26 whereas statements in this executive order. So it's pretty lengthy on that side of things. And following that, there are 13 paragraphs and sections, each one of those pertaining to either multiple agencies or specific agencies. One of the first things that it sets out is that it amends the state's greenhouse gas targets. And it increases those to 45% below 1990 levels by the year 2035 and 80% below 1990 levels by 2050. Many of the sections, so many of those 13 paragraphs and sections aren't necessarily relevant to ODF because it is a very broad EO and it covers many agencies. Slide. So looking at the ones that are specific to ODF, slide. We can look at paragraph one, and it outlines the various agencies that are fall under this executive order. And you'll see that there is, at J, is the Oregon Department of Forestry. One thing that has been pointed out by people in the past is that there are some agencies whose commissions and boards are specifically called out. And that's because if there is work specifically called out for those boards and for those commissions within those, the Board of Forestry is not one of those. Go ahead and slide. So if starting with paragraph three, this is applies to all of the agencies that are listed in paragraph one. So we look at the greenhouse gas reduction goals. And basically this paragraph says that the agencies shall use all the authorities that they can to facilitate the reduction in greenhouse gas emissions and aim and reach the goals that were set out, the 45 and 80% levels. So that's 3A. Slide 3B continues to fall under that whole list of agencies. And this one indicates that agencies shall, so it is shall, prioritize and expedite any process and procedures, including but not limited to rulemaking. So it kind of allows agencies to expedite the rulemaking process that would fall under this EO. Slide. Okay. So 3C is, okay, there we go. Go ahead. So this talks about agency decisions, and that gets broken down even a little bit further. So it says that they need to be done in a cost-effective manner. Slide. And that it will help vulnerable populations and impacted communities in their adaptation to climate impacts. Slide. And that agencies will consult with the Environmental Justice Task Force when evaluating climate change mitigation and adaptation priorities set forth in the previous paragraphs and previous sections of the EO. Slide. And this is where our report comes in, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a little bit. So 3D. There were specific agencies that were called out as needing to provide a report just to the governor's office by May 15th. And you'll see the list of those at the bottom of that paragraph, ODF being one of those. So that was provided to you. It was in the materials for today's meeting. It was provided to you when we submitted it back in May as well. So 3E is the last of kind of these general apply to multiple agencies or all the agencies at once. And this is that ODF will participate in an interagency work group on climate impacted communities, along with a variety of other agencies and organizations and groups, including the Oregon Global Warming Commission, the Environmental Justice Task Force, and so on. And at this time, I will participate in that group once it is stood up and ongoing. So 12A is you see we skip from 3 all the way to 12. So all of those interspatial areas. So the 4 through 11 don't really pertain to ODF directly. So 12 is section 12, paragraph 12 is dealing with the Oregon Global Warming Commission. And it outlines that ODF is going to participate with the Oregon Global Warming Commission to come up with goals for natural working land. And that report, or that those goals are due to the governor's office by June 30th of 2021, so next year, about a year from now. Other areas that are related to ODF business, but ODF is not called out on. 4C, cap and reduce the stationary sources and transportation fuels that could impact the forestry sector in some ways. 5B is the PUC section, so wildfire protection plans for electric companies. 8 is providing electric vehicles and charging for state fleets and at state buildings. And then 11 is for OHA standards for protection from wildfire smoke and excessive heat. Particularly for impacted communities. Slide. So the response from ODF, go ahead, was we developed a report that was due May 15th. This was put together pretty quickly, And the indications that we got from the governor's office, we got a bit of an outline, and then that it was specifically from the agency to the governor's office, and it outlined what the agencies thought they could do within those within that outline, and is very much built off of that outline. Go ahead. And things that were included were the agency reduction in greenhouse gas emissions, agency reduction in greenhouse gas by policy, and then advancing greenhouse gas emission reduction goals. So in our report, in the ODF report for agency reductions of greenhouse gas emissions, we put forth a variety of things that have been ongoing and expand. So that includes remote meeting technology. COVID-19 has helped with that greatly this last few months, but it's probably something that we would look at doing anyways. Reduced building energy and electrical consumption. Again, that's something that our facilities folks are looking at all the time and continue to work on updating those that area. Utilize electric vehicles where reasonable. Being an emergency response agency, that can be difficult at times, but we do see some areas where we could increase our electric vehicle use. And then identify and facilitate additional telecommuting options for staff. So the reduction in greenhouse gas policy. So some of the things that we have been doing and could do are the forest carbon sequestration and flux report and study. So that's the forest ecosystem carbon report. Looking at the wood product carbon report. So that's the harvested wood products report. And then the third report that we're working on, that ties in with that temperate forest MOU that John mentioned, is our scenario planning and management projections. And that's one that we're anticipating will hopefully be done in the next couple of years. And that's across agencies and states. So it's an ongoing process with that one. Detecting change in biogeography of trees and adaptation planning is some of the work that's been going on with the seed orchard and looking at the appropriate tree species given climate change. On our work plan is updating goal G of the FPFO, including diversity, equity, and inclusion to climate impacted communities, and that through our DEI equity tool and then other work. So that equity tool is one that I'll talk about more in a few minutes, but that's from the climate adaptation framework. And then support and participation in the Oregon Global Warming Commission, which will be providing information and data to that goal setting process moving forward. So advancing the greenhouse gas emissions reduction goals. So statutory authority review is what the DOJ is doing right now. Following that, on the work plan is our systematic statute and rule review. So looking at greenhouse gas and climate change issues for our different rules. And then partnering with greenhouse gas and carbon research, particularly with the Forest Service and our neighboring states. Outreach and inclusion. So working to be more inclusive with our policies and with our work. Maintain forest land as forest land. And expanding forest cover. So that's reforestation and afforestation and working with TLCD to maintain our strong land use laws. Afforestation and urban tree canopies. So that's working on urban sector to work on increasing urban tree canopy. And there's a lot of co-benefits that go along with that from not only a climate change, but a public health and variety of other reasons. And then working through shared stewardship and federal forest restoration on fuel reductions for wildfire threats and for also carbon protection and adaptation threats. So the report was input to the governor's office on what agencies believe to be within their authorities. Some of that is still being determined by DOJ for us. So that's one of the reasons that we are very interested in what the DOJ is going to have to say. And then where agency goals are in relation to the EO 2004. and then an opportunity to identify where agencies would like to direct work. The report wasn't intended to be a process for public input. That will come as all of the steps are taken in that. It wasn't related to agency budget development, and it did not require agencies to provide commitments that the agencies were going to achieve what was put into the report. So it really was seen as a planning process and a planning document where the agencies and the governor's office would be working together to identify what would be done moving forward. With that, we'll move on to the harvested wood products and the sawmill energy report. So this is a process that began with the forest ecosystem carbon report, which was presented to you in the past. This is the second study, and it looks at the
Danny, could you hold on for trees. A second? I think Cindy has a question. Yeah.
I was before you left the EO. I was wondering if you or Peter would care to comment on the letter we got back from the governor's office and sort of where we're going in response to that.
Cindy, thanks for that question, Cindy. Yeah, we did get a letter from the governor's office, and they are asking us to make some stronger statements, which I talked about this morning in my opening comments. And we are really going to reframe the our goal and vision in terms of racial justice and social equity, because I think that's a big miss in the way we frame that report, just because of the way in our conversations about what it was and what it wasn't. I think I missed an opportunity there. I think the other thing that we're going to be doing, which is evident in the public comment, is we have not been doing a good job. A number of people in the public comment are asking us to produce a forest ecosystem carbon report, which has now been out for a year. It meets the highest level of IPCC standards for estimating forest carbon. Washington is following our approach and refining it, much like we followed California. I also recently got an email from Senator Golden, who noted an article from Yale that didn't include us in the memorandum of understanding around climate change research on the West Coast. And we've since corrected that error. But I think there are a couple of things that are pointed out from the response we've gotten is we need to be much better about communicating what we're doing and taking a much stronger stance, both in our vision statement and moving forward in our communication efforts.
And we've got questions from Jim Kelly and then Brenda McComb also. So, Jim.
Yeah, I'm happy to hold off until all the presentation is finished, okay. But yeah, I do have a number of comments around the EO. So, but I'm pleased to hold off. I think we should get all the.
Okay, and Brenda, was yours a clarifying question, or do you want to hold off?
It also related to ODF's response to the EO. So I don't know when you want to take those comments and questions, but
why don't we take all of those in the when we get to the more general discussion? If that's okay.
That's fine. Thank you.
Thanks. Go ahead, Danny.
Okay. The harvested wood products and sawmill energy reports, like I was saying, are kind of follow-ups to the forest ecosystem carbon report that Peter just mentioned. And this is working with the U.S. Forest Service through their FIA program primarily, and other members of the research station, but it also incorporates national forest lands. And then it brings in the California Department of Forestry and Fire and Washington DNR. And then we're working on incorporating information from British Columbia as they're part of that temperate forest MOU as well. So it's really going to be an entire West Coast assessment, or at least it'll be able to compare stuff across borders. So the H3P analysis looks at data that was available from 1906 to 2017. And then the Sawmill Energy Report was based on more recent mill studies that were done. Go ahead and slide. And I should mention that all of this work was done out of the University of Montana, and they've been very good to work with. They run the timber products output studies that are done, and they gather up all that information for at least all of the West Coast or Western states. So the HWP looks at board feet to keep it transfers board feet to cubic volume, and uses a variety of conversion factors. It looks at 40 different timber products from saw timber, poles, small round wood, et cetera. And then it breaks things down into primary products of lumber, firewood, mill residue, pulp, fuel, and so on. And then the end use is 224 different end uses, from residential construction to plywood pads under cranes and tracks to various manufacturing and shipping. Next slide. So this is the Harvest Wood Products Framework, and Andrew Yost will be bringing this to you in the future. At least that's our intent, and he'll be able to speak to it much more than I. But this is based on the carbon balance management work that's been done in the past. And it kind of shows the flow that takes place through all the different areas and where things wind up and how they get accounted for. So we do have some graphs and results from this. So the annual timber output for Oregon, and this is a million metric tons of carbon, starting in 1906 up to 2017. So you can see that there's been a few areas where it drops pretty precipitously, and then it kind of levels out a little bit. Slide. So if we look at the carbon that's in storage, in this one, so it's accounted for in solid waste disposal sites. So that's either dumps or landfills. And whether it went into a dump or a landfill is important because of the way that those are managed and the way that the decay of wood takes place in those and how that is emitted. So you can look at and see that the products in use versus the products in solid waste disposal sites dating back to 1906. And this is cumulative year from year. So it's not like 2017 was it's not a bar graph, so it grows over time. Like, so then we can account for the emissions that come with out of that as well. So the gray bars are showing the emissions, and the pink and the purple are showing the in use or in solid waste disposal sites. And this one is in CO2 equivalent, or you can convert this to CO2 equivalents, which is how emissions are seen. So yeah, this shows emitted versus stored over time. Slide. So the Harvest Wood Products carbon model has been successfully reprogrammed. We did find an error in it, and that's been fixed. So that has delayed us a little bit, but we're on.
Brenda, is that a clarifying question?
Yes, thanks. Just a clarifying question, Danny. In that previous slide, and it was hard for me to read some of the other ones, are the carbon costs associated with managing, harvesting, milling, and transporting the wood products also included?
There, if you want to go back a slide for me. So, backwards. They are not included in those emissions. So this is emissions of the wood products. So this does not include what went into the production of those wood products.
So this is the gross carbon, not the net carbon, correct?
No, it's the net carbon.
No,
the previous slide's the net carbon in the harvested wood products pool.
It's not net carbon, though. Net carbon is the carbon that is stored after deducting the carbon that was spent managing it, harvesting it, transporting it, and milling it.
So you've raised this point, Sin.
I never get a good answer, so I keep raising it.
So, as I mentioned once before, we're using the IPCC definitions of wood products pool. So when I say net energy and the harvested wood products pool, it is understood it's referring to a certain pool.
Peter, if I could, just because you're doing it the same as someone else doesn't make it right. You have to account for the amount of carbon that's spent in the all of the processes that go into creating that product. Anyway, I'll stop, but I continue to raise this point, and I will continue to raise this point because it's just wrong.
Pardon? Go ahead.
This is John. I think that we can certainly, and we've talked a lot, given the question being raised, and it's salient to the conversation at hand, that moving forward, these reports as they stand were in conjunction through the MOU and through the work that was being done with our state partners and federal partners. But that still leaves the question that should be looked at and examined. And so to follow up on that point and accounting for that carbon in the harvesting side, we are anticipating looking into that at a deeper level and trying to find partners that we can get to that. And hopefully we can follow up with a more in-depth conversation as to what those parameters of that methodology would look like.
Great, thank you.
Could you raise a valid point is what is the carbon cost of forest management in of itself? And so, and the governor's letter did ask us to look at decarbonizing the forestry sector. So looking at the, carbon emissions from management practices in managing forest in Oregon would be a worthwhile study in of itself. And so we are starting to explore that with our partners to see if we can find someone to pull that information together for us.
Good, thank you. But it's not just the active management, it's also the transportation sector. And that needs to be pulled out of that transportation pool.
And we will reach out because that's the, there's lots of boundary conditions that we will need to decide where we want to put those on. And where do you draw that line in terms of forest management and transportation? So we'll work with the board and with you to really make sure as we draft the study that we do have the parameters that you would be interested in seeing. And that we
Great,
can.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter.
Go ahead, Danny.
Okay. I think the last thing I'll say on this is the final report should be delivered by the end of August. And I, as I mentioned, we're hoping to have Andrew come and present this a little bit more in depth in September so we can have a little bit more time to spend on the harvested wood products study. The Sawmill Energy will probably be a little bit after that. I think we're expecting that in October. The Sawmill Energy report should help show some of the energy inputs that are going into the, at least the sawmill production side of things. Okay. So the statewide climate adaptation framework, this handout was provided to you in your packets, I believe. And this is a revision of the initial framework that was developed in 2010. This go around is being coordinated by the Department of Lands Conservation Development. And it includes 25 different state agencies. And it was broken out into six themes a long time ago. So like I mentioned, this process started about a year and a half ago. And we've been going through a variety of iterations and working on getting it into the best framework that we can. So six themes include the economy, natural world, the built environment, public health, cultural heritage, and social systems. And I will mention that forestry does have portions within the economy and also the natural world. So implement this will include implementation recommendations for establishing a governance structure, engaging with disproportionately affected frontline and marginalized communities. We hope that it will produce a rigorous and comprehensive vulnerability assessment, and DLCD is working on enhancing the vulnerability assessment side of things. And then it's really hoped that this will encourage a culture of interagency collaboration, so kind of breaking down walls between agencies. And we've already seen that happening within the group that's been working on it. And then integrate climate change adaptation into agency work across state government. But so there have been a few subgroups that have spun off of this, and some of those will continue and some of them probably won't. Those include the governance one, one to do outreach for the climate adaptation framework, an equity subgroup, and then some other ones that have already fallen off to the side or are kind of just lying and waiting until something comes up for them to work on. So I'll mention the equity one specifically. So we're working with a DEI consultant to develop an equity blueprint and an equity lens to utilize for the climate adaptation framework. And it's also intended that it'll be used in policy development and analysis in the agencies and in the agency work. We had level setting workshops for state agencies back in May and June. And then we've been working on developing this climate adaptation equity blueprint since then. And we're hoping to have further trainings in the future on this blueprint. I will say that it was started by the Oregon Health Authority, and then ODF did financially participate in hiring this consultant as well, because it is a priority for us, and we want to make sure that it takes place and we have a quality product out the back end. So next steps for the climate adaptation framework is that it's going to be provided to agency leadership for review, and then we'll start stakeholder outreach, and then final revision and publication of the framework. So some, like I was saying, some may persist past that publication, so the equity subgroup is kind of hoping to. The governance group and the structure probably will, because of the way that that's been laid out and working across agencies for that budget development and cross-agency work. And then a staff ad hoc group that will continue to work on cross-agency implementation of the framework and other policies that come out of it. So some select next steps from our work plan. The DOJ will provide the public memo to the board in a future meeting. We'll participate in the work that's been outlined in the EO. The board will start working on the revision of Goal G. We'll finalize the Harvest of Wood Products and the Sawmill Energy Report, and the climate adaptation framework is meant to be reviewed and then published. Looking further, so that's all kind of near-term stuff. Looking out further, so our work plan does show that we'll have analysis of rules in relation to climate change, and that's kind of going to be in light of that DOJ memo. And then the climate projections and management scenario research is ongoing, and I'm looking forward to that progressing further so that we can report back to you on what the findings are from that. So that's what I have for today. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, and we'll go to Jim and then to Brenda for questions on the topic.
Hi, thank you. You all did a good job in terms of that initial response, given the timeline and the fact that it wasn't going to work for any board input or anything at that time. I'm glad we're finally at the point where the board can get into this conversation and have some input. First thing I'd like to say is I think, since we deal with forests and we deal with a lot of very long horizons, we do need to look at this a little bit differently, because we face a crisis, and what happens in the next 15 years is of much greater importance than the things that we're doing that are going to make changes 50 years from now. So we do have to have a focus a little bit more on the short term than we normally would when it comes to this issue of climate change. So I made a few notes, and I'll try to run through these, and I know we won't have time to have conversation about all of these, you know, some of the feedback that I've seen from other people like Peter Hayes, I think it was Peter who first pointed out the fact that the response really didn't include a statement of commitment and responsibility. And I think it's very important that we get to work and create that. I'll just run through verbally something that I think would model that. We acknowledge that climate change is a serious threat. We have a less than a decade to alter behaviors if we want to avoid catastrophic impacts. We, as a board and an agency, accept responsibility to act quickly to provide effective leadership. We recognize that this will require a seismic shift in normal operations and means a focus on innovation, imagination, and experimentation. I'm just laying that out there as a starting point. I also have a short list here of just some specific ideas, both small and large, that I would like to just get on the table for further discussion. One is to recognize that this is a problem that very smart people, governments, businesses, agencies throughout the world are working on. So I think ODF really needs not to just be having a regional lens here, but looking to identify and implement the best ideas and practices using a worldwide lens. Also, totally separate small idea, why don't we consider an annual award for climate-wise forestry? Perhaps we could make a modification of the existing Operator of the Year. I also understand that ODF used to have an Indicators of Sustainable Forestry program that was discontinued sometime back. I don't know what it really was. Is it possible we can dig that out and see if it merits a revival? Another idea in terms of state forests, I think that we need to lead by example for the rest of private forestry in Oregon show that we can progressively reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and increase carbon sequestration. And finally, I think we need a staff climate-wise forestry review of the Forest Practices Act to identify what currently gets in the way of climate smart forestry and what changes might have significant positive climate impacts while still keeping the industry viable. I know that's potentially a big project. And I also know that, you know, Peter, I think you've pointed out that the most significant thing we can do for climate in our area of influence is longer rotations. Well, much of seeing that happen goes beyond probably our authority, but you know, we really need to look at we need to seriously look at what it will take to do that. Obviously, it would require help for rural communities, and obviously, options for property owners and mills and the whole industry, because it's just not going to happen by asking people to please do this. It's a huge, important, it's probably the number one thing that we have to be looking at, as challenging it is to even think about. Okay, that's my list.
Hey, Jim, that's great. If you could also, if you have that written down, if you wouldn't just send it to us so we can get it right, so we don't have to just transcribe it from the recordings. I have said longer rotations, one of four main ways, not the main way. And you raised the interesting question about the short term and the long term. There's a direct trade-off of in short term and long term. Longer rotations really is a benefit in the longer term rather than in the shorter term, unless you do something about demand. Because if you take a global perspective, wood products is a global demand cycle. And if we decrease harvest in Oregon without adjusting the global demand, that harvest will be picked up somewhere else. So increasing rotations and decreasing harvest in the short run could have a very illusory effect. It could make us feel good from a regional basis and have no really net effect on carbon, but as you mentioned, have a pretty significant effect on rural Oregon. So I think it is a really good area to look at, is how do we encourage those policies and how do we do it in a manner that transitions appropriately. So great ideas. We will consider those as we work through the update of our climate change goal and commitment. So thanks for that.
Yeah.
If it's okay, Tom, for me to follow up?
Yeah, sorry, I was speaking through a mute.
Okay. So I just have a few things that I want to follow up on. First, to reiterate Jim's point, I think that the ODF report needs to reflect a greater level of urgency, but also commitment, a commitment to doing some things now while we continue to learn more. You know, as Jim pointed out, there's a lot of information available on what can be done to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, what can be done to sequester carbon, what can be done in different ways of managing forests to ensure that carbon is sequestered for as long as possible before it is emitted from in the form of respiration, as Danny talked about with products. And I really like the report that Washington DNR put together on climate resilience. And they did point out some actions that they were taking now. They were making commitments to taking actions now. So I really found that to be compelling and something that you might want to consider taking a look at. Earlier, I asked the question about collaborating with DEQ and ODFW around some common efforts relative to water quality with carbon, with climate change likely to affect not only stream temperatures, but also the vegetation next to streams. I mean, this seems like a really ripe area for interagency collaboration, and I sure hope that that's one of the results of the interagency work that's being proposed. Let's see. You know, the other thing that occurred to me was tracking the ODF's carbon footprint. And, you know, we have dashboards being created for budgets now. We should have a carbon dashboard that really allows us to understand for ODF, what's the footprint now? How is it changing over time? And it would be really great to have something like that available for the forests of Oregon as well. How are we sequestering carbon? How much are we emitting through our management and other actions? How much is stored in products? Those sorts of things. So I think moving towards some sort of an accountability tracking system would be helpful too. So there's just a few thoughts, but again, I come back to, you know, committing to actually doing something right now would be really important given the urgency of the issue.
Thank you, and that's great. And we have committed to tracking of forest ecosystem carbon and harvested wood products, and we will be doing that on a regular basis.
Coming back to my point, though, I think having a dashboard, much like we have for the budget, would be helpful, because then it's out there for everybody to see on a real-time basis.
Yeah, and we can do that. And the again, capacity and communication are going to be important. It's a dashboard that won't change that rapidly, in the sense that it We're planning to do the update on a two-year cycle for the forest ecosystem carbon report, and we haven't really determined the cycle for the harvested wood products unless.
But, so, Peter, I think you missed the point. The point is tracking the carbon footprint for ODF or for the forestry sector in Oregon. So that means greenhouse gas emissions as well as sequestration of carbon. How are you doing? How are you doing in terms of reducing the greenhouse gas emissions as a state agency?
Thank you for that clarification. I was curious from the state agency perspective, so beyond just in the forest space, into the agency space as well.
That's okay. Mike Rose has had his hand up for a little while here. Mike?
Thank you. I don't know if this is the right place to express my concerns, but as we move forward with this, and I'm talking about greenhouse gases and putting stuff together, I have a real concern for the small independent contractor that works on a smaller budget than most. And as we start putting things into place, rules and regulations, a lot of these guys that they live in the rural communities, and they don't have the money or the financing to put new engines or what it may require to get them updated, so we can get to where we want to be. So moving forward, I think as we put things into place, we need to include and think about the impact that it's going to have on the smaller independent contractors that we rely on.
Okay, and Jim, your hand is up.
Yes. I agree with Mike. We have to have that sensitivity. But also, unlike longer rotation, decarbonizing the industry and any efforts like that, can start happening very soon, today essentially. There are changes that would have positive impact and have, when I first started with impact that we would be feeling within this next 10 to 15 years.
Okay, any other comments? So I'm guessing that, or I'm assuming that staff has collected all of these. Rather than come back to this one at the end of the meeting, when we do our run through, in terms of being clear about what happens when, do we, is there a way we can kind of summarize, Peter, would that be you, what we take with what's been discussed here today and when we'll see some further action on it and how?
The team got together the day the letter came out shortly thereafter. So we think that we can bring revitalized vision to the board in September. We're going to point out some gaps in the goal G that we think are missing and some areas that we want the board, we will challenge the board to take on. That is what we're planning to do. And since we want to have a robust discussion around this, we're also planning to perhaps leave more time for discussion on this topic. The half hour that we've had scheduled for this isn't working out exactly as thought when we thought it was going to be a simple report. And so, and particularly as we start getting it in goal G, we'll want to have a robust discussion. And we had also planned to bring the indicators that Jim mentioned back to the board in September as well. And I think that conversation is probably a little premature until we really settle in on what are our goals and what are our short-term and longer-term goals before we decide how we're going to measure what we're accomplishing. So I would propose to staff to, we're going to put off our focus on indicators. We still have that work going. We're still tracking ones that we're tracking. We can cover that offline with you, Jim, if you really want, but we think we should shift that focus to the goal G on climate change. So quick thoughts or thumbs up on that approach? Got one thumbs up, I think.
Yeah. Any, Jim, Brenda, others who have commented, any reaction to that before we move on?
Well, I guess my reaction is that sounds good. what are the commitments that will be made between now and then to really illustrate to the governor, to constituents, to others in this country, the real actions that are going to be taken to help resolve this issue. You know, planning is great. I agree with that. We need those plans, but we also need to take the information we have available and do something.
Thank you, Brenda. And I wasn't planning to wait for the board before I reach out to the governor's office. The letter, I believe, I'm reminding correctly, came to the state forester and charged me with doing some things. And I will take action. I am going to be thoughtful and run it by my executive team and my carbon team. But we will be responding to governor much more quickly as we do and communicate with the governor and gain alignment with the governor's office. And I will keep the board in the loop on that. But so yeah, we're not going to wait till September before we take action.
Thank you. Got another time up there. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Danny, as well, John.